Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Hebrews, 10th chapter. All right, let me get there myself. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, starting in verse number 34. We're talking about the reward of confidence. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the reward of confidence. Actually, it's verse number 35. Last time we were together, you remember we talked about verse number 34, and because we have an illuminated perspective, we've got a different outlook on life, got a different outlook on sufferings, on people, and we have an eternal perspective. Today, we continue in those thoughts in the 35th verse of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. It says these words, it says, therefore, in other words, because of what I just said, because you have a different mindset, because you have an eternal perspective and not an earthly perspective, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. In other words, he's exhorting them and encouraging them, church, I want you to hold on. I want you to not cast away your confidence. I don't want you to get rid of it. Why? Because it has great reward. Each and every one of us want that reward in our lives. We want to see the blessing of God poured out on us. We want to see those things that God has in store for us. But you're not going to get there if you cast away your confidence. Now, that word confidence is an interesting word. We've already talked about it many times throughout the book of Hebrews. It's the same word that you find in your Bible called boldness. You remember, we studied this throughout the book of Hebrews. That we can boldly approach the throne of grace. We can find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. That we can be bold for God. That we can live a life that's open and frank and potent. We can have a life that is full strength. We can be bold for Jesus in every area of our life. We can boldly stand against the wiles of the enemy. We can boldly declare the word of the Lord over our life. We can boldly go and witness to somebody about Jesus. And therefore, he says, do not cast away your confidence. Don't get rid of your boldness. Don't allow anything to stop you from being everything that you are. Don't compromise. Don't let up. Don't quit. Don't get off of it. Do not cast away your confidence. Why? Because it has great reward. Now, there's many factors that come against us, each and every one of us, on a regular basis to get us to cast away our confidence. See, if I have something on me, the only way to get it off of me is to get me distracted from it. For instance, I've got this coat on me right now. Now, nice blue coat, right? But if it started looking ratty to me, if I looked at it and said, well, you know, it's nice and all, but it's not that new anymore. You know, when I first got it, it was really cool. It was really special. But now I see it wears. And you start to get distracted. You start to get off of it. Maybe if it got really hot. And I said, you know what, this coat is great and all, but it's really hot and I'm really sweaty. I got to take this off of me. See, there can be distractions that come. Distractions come in many ways. How about this one? Persecutions. The heat is on. All of a sudden, our confidence, we're confident, we're going for Jesus, we're declaring the word, we're potent, we're bold, and yet now all of a sudden somebody says, sit down and shut up. You shouldn't be saying that. At the workplace, you're carrying your Bible to work, and you set it there on your desk, and somebody says, that's offensive, you should put that away, you should keep that at home. At lunch, you do your daily Bible study, and somebody says, what are you doing? You're going to get fired for that. And all of a sudden, you've lost your boldness. Now you've gotten distracted and you've cast it away. You no longer bring your Bible. You now hide because of persecution. Distractions come in other forms. How about this? Delays in the process. Sometimes we get distracted by the delay in the process. What does that mean? That means I'm confessing the word of the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm boldly declaring the word of God. And yet it tarries. It seems to just take too long. God, where are you? God, what are you doing? Lord, I've been asking you for prosperity, and I've been declaring that you take pleasure in the prosperity of your servant. God, I'm your servant. What's going on here? I've been speaking it for days and months, years, and yet I still haven't seen it. Now you've been believing for your healing. Day after day after day after day, you're declaring, by his stripes I was healed. By his stripes I was healed. By his stripes I was healed. And after months and months of declaring, you're not getting any better. See, sometimes delays in the process can get us, well, maybe God doesn't want me to be healed. Maybe God's mad at me. Maybe I'm in sin. I guess the Lord really didn't. God's got to be teaching me a lesson through this, and I just must be so stupid that I don't get it yet, so therefore I'm not going to get healed yet, and we get off of our confession. We get off of our boldness. See, the delays sometimes can get us off of what God has for us. How about this one? Deterrence. Deterrence. Maybe somebody is a well-meaning person. Maybe they love you. Maybe it's a relative or a friend. Could even be someone in church. Sometimes we have a problem because, you know, we were going for God and we thought we were doing the right thing and we were bold, and yet someone comes along and they say something with the best of intentions, and yet it deters us from being everything that God has called us to be. I remember when I was ministering in our young adults ministry years ago, I was given an altar call, and at the end of the altar call, you know, a couple of people got saved, and we had a great night, and I was feeling good about everything that God was doing there, and so I got down off the platform, I was greeting people, and a couple of guys came up, and they seemed friendly, they seemed real nice, real put together, and they greeted me, and they said, hey, we're from such and such a church, and we love what you guys are doing here, everything was great, the music, the message, it was awesome, but don't you think that you should use a little bit more love in your altar call? And it was almost as if that word just pierced me. It was like they cut me. They had the best of intentions, and that was the best that they knew, and they thought that they were helping me out when, in fact, they were deterring me from being bold for Jesus. Can I ask you a question? If my child was out in the street, and there was a car coming, and you saw me say, oh, honey, please, get out of the street. Come to Daddy. You would think, what's he doing? Right? No, if you saw me yelling at my kid, hey, get out of the street. You want to be a little pancake? Say, get over here, right? You'd say, that's a good dad, right? Loves his child enough to tell him the truth. See, sometimes the deterrence, no matter how well-intentioned, they can get us off of the things of God. Oh, that's a nice coat, but, you know, it's blue, and blue's not that great. Oh, well, you're right. And yet, we cast away our confidence all the time. See, if the devil can get you distracted, if the world systems can get you deterred, if delays can come and get you off, then eventually you will get discouraged and slump into a depression. See, we don't understand. Sometimes we think, I don't know what this is. There's just this cloud. There's this fog. I don't want to get up out of bed. I don't want to do anything. You know, I used to have this spark in my life. I used to have just this vibrant relationship with God, but now I don't know if God's here or not. I don't know what God is doing, and we get discouraged, and eventually we get depressed. Now, all of a sudden, where we should have been out, we're in. Where we should have been up, we're down. Where we should have been the head, we're the tail. See, and yet God has said, I don't want you to live a life like that. I've not called you to shrink back. I've not called you to be discouraged. I've not called you to live depressed. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. See, that's what this is all about. Don't cast away your confidence, for it has great reward. See, if you cast away your confidence, there's no reward coming. I don't know about you, but I want my reward. See, we think, well, that's selfish. That's self-serving. No, it's not. Because if God has something for me, I want it. Hello? You say, well, you're a greedy little preacher. Amen. Yes, I am. See, because I know God. I know his character. I know his nature. I know his attributes. And I know that God is good. See, God is not mean. God is not sadistic. God is not looking to punish our lives. God is not looking out to get us and zap us. And that's right. He's not waiting with a 2x4 to knock you over the head when you do something wrong. God has a reward for our lives. But sometimes things can distract us and deter us. You know, I was talking about people saying things. I got a couple examples of people in the natural, okay? These are people who maybe they weren't Christians, maybe they were, I don't know their lives, but, you know, really, just if you look at them at face value, they didn't allow things to get them off of who they were or what they could do. Here was a quote that somebody said about a baseball player. He said, that kid can't play baseball. This was the Milwaukee Braves minor league manager Tommy Holmes in 1952 appraising Hank Aaron, who went on to break Babe Ruth's all-time record for home runs. How about this one? Someone said this, he'll never be any good. That was Baltimore Colts owner Robert Irsay in 1983 evaluating future Pro Bowl and Super Bowl champion quarterback John Elway. I like this one. You will never amount to very much. This was a Munich teacher to a 10-year-old Albert Einstein in 1889. That teacher was eating their words later on in life. Are you listening? Some of you guys had that spoken over you too. You'll never amount to very much. How about this one? I like this one. Can't act, can't sing, balding, can dance a little. that was an MGM executive in 1929 about Fred Astaire's screen test. Fred Astaire. How about this one? You ain't going nowhere, son. You ought to go back to driving a truck. That was the Grand Ole Opry manager, Jim Denny, in 1954 as he fired Elvis Presley after one performance. He fired the king. How about this? We don't like their sound. Groups of guitars are on their way out. That was Decca Recording Company in 1962 upon turning down the Beatles. Last one for today. Last one for today. I like this one. This is probably my favorite one. Get rid of the pointed ears guy. NBC television executive to Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry in 1966 recommending the new show eliminate the Vulcan character, Mr. Spock. Ain't no Star Trek without Mr. Spock. Is that right? Now, listen, what's the point? That's all in the natural. That's all with stuff that doesn't matter one bit. Football, baseball, acting, dancing, singing, playing a guitar, playing a part on a show. See, none of that has any consequence eternally. What matters is, as Christians, that we don't allow those distractions, we don't allow those delays, we don't allow those deterrents which come against us on a regular basis to get us to cast away our confidence. If someone ungodly can do that in the natural and become somebody that's world famous, then how much more can God do with a church that will not cast away its confidence, won't get discouraged or depressed, but will go for the reward? See, these people did it for money, for fame, for fortune. We do it because of the eternal reward that's coming our way. The Apostle Paul talked about this in 1 Thessalonians. You want to turn back a couple books in your Bible from Hebrews to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 2 says this. Paul's writing to the Thessalonians, talking about the mandate God had given him. God had told him, I want you to go and preach the gospel, and you are going to open up the gospel to the Gentile church. Here he inaugurates the dispensation of grace, and he starts preaching and teaching. And he knew that Peter, James, and John, they were sent to the Jews, but he knows that he is sent to the Gentiles. Look at what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 2. It says, but even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know. Look at what he says. We were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. In other words, the Apostle Paul had the wisdom to recognize and realize that all of these persecutions, all of these trials, even though we were spitefully treated, you know what that is? That's just mean. That's spite. That's I'm trying to hurt you. And even though he knew that people did not have his best interests in mind, in fact, they had his harm in mind, he says, we were still bold in our God. We weren't going to let these distractions or these deterrents to get us off the things of God, to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. See, you got to keep what you're wearing. Keep your confidence, church, even through the trial, even through the pressure, even through the pain, even in the midst of persecutions, even in the midst of all the distractions, all the deterrents, even when you want to be discouraged, you want to sit down and quit. God says, don't cast away your confidence. Stay after it. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, a reward is to give money or another kind of payment to someone or something for something good that has been done, okay? Now, at this point, I got to make a distinction, all right? Salvation is not a reward, okay? Salvation is a gift that is given to us. Romans chapter 6, verse number 23, for the wages of sin is death, okay? There is a payment that comes from sin called death, but look at this. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, so your works don't save you. It's not a payment. It's not according to works, but it's according to grace. By grace you've been saved through faith. That is, the gift of God is not of yourselves, lest anyone should boast, right? So salvation is not a reward. Salvation is a gift that is given to us. But our works will be rewarded. We see that in the Bible, okay? A reward comes from our works. Remember our definition? It was a payment rendered for something that was done good. See, sometimes we get this mud in the water where we say, well, am I saved because I'm doing good works? No, you're doing good works because you're saved. Are you listening? They go hand in hand, right? Faith and works. Because you're saved, you do good works, okay? So Matthew chapter 16, verse 27 comes along, and Jesus is speaking, okay? It's red letter in your Bible, if you have the red letter edition, and it says this, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his salvation. He will reward each according to his faith, his grace, or his what? His works. He will reward each according to his works. So our good works don't buy us salvation. No, faith in what Jesus did on the cross, believing unto righteousness where it produces the works now, shows that I've got a heart for God and now I'm a Christian. It's not by my works of righteousness which I have done that saved me. No, it's according to his mercy. But now, because I have received Jesus, because I am a Christian, now I do good works and my good works will be rewarded. Are you listening today? Now, the original Greek word, okay, this is a simple message, but I'm trying to get it as confusing as possible for you today, okay? The reward of confidence, okay? In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. The old King James version actually has a better translation. It says recompense of reward, okay? In the original Greek, that word for reward is a compound word. There's actually two words, one of them meaning money and another one meaning to give or to recompense, okay? Now, we don't use the word recompense that often, but let me give it to you like this. It's a compensation for the total amount spent of getting a job done. It is a compensation for the total amount spent to get a job done. Let's say everybody in this room, you just became a salesperson, all right? And I'm your boss, and I'm telling you, okay, I want you to go. I want you to travel to a certain city. There's going to be an expo there at the city. I want you to buy a stand. I want you to buy a table, a backdrop. I want you to buy graphics and printing. I want you to buy business cards and literature. I need a trifold pamphlet that you can hand out. And I want you to sell this item that we're selling. And I need you to fly there. I need you to rent a car. I need you to have a hotel room. I need you to stay there. And you're going to need to eat. You're going to need to put gas in the car and that sort of thing. But I don't have an expense card yet that I can hand to you. So you're going to have to take your personal credit card, and you're going to have to go out there and you're going to have to spend your own money to start in order to do all this. But keep your receipts, because when you come back to me after the job is done, I will recompense you. I will pay you back for all that you spent in order to get the job done. And I'm going to give you pay, and if you do a good job, I'll give you a bonus, right? That's the idea when it comes to our reward. That whatever you spend here on the earth to get the job done, you say, what's the job? Whatever God has called you to do. If God has called you to be a stay-at-home mom, parenting your children there at the house while your spouse is away at work, then you do what it takes. You spend what it should be spent in order to pour into those children's lives and raise them up in the way of the Lord. And at the end, whatever you spent, the Lord will repay and he will reward you according to what you did. Same thing with if you're called to be a carpenter. You do the best job that you can do. You do the best quality work that you can do. You don't cheat on your taxes. You pay your taxes. You pay the people well and you do what you need to do. God will repay you. And he'll bless you. What if God has called you to witness to somebody? Then you go out and you witness in the power of the Holy Spirit and you do what it needs to be done and God will recompense you. He will make up for the difference. He'll redeem the time. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the energy. He'll give you the wisdom. And if you have to spend on the road, on the way, God will take care of your physical and financial needs as well while you're doing the will of God, and then there will be a reward in heaven. Are you listening? Okay, let's take a look at it in the word 2 John. Okay, you're there in Thessalonians. Go towards the back of your Bible now, past Hebrews, past James, past 1 and 2 Peter. You'll find 1 John, then there's 2 John, probably only one page in your Bible. Right past 1 John, there's 2 John. If you hit Revelation or the maps, turn around and come back. You went too far. 2 John, there's only one chapter. We're going to take a look at verse number 8. 2 John, verse 8 says this, "Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward." So what is he saying? He's saying, hold on to your receipts. Hello? He's saying, don't lose those things which you worked for. Don't cast away your confidence. You worked hard for it. You endured for it. And just because it's delayed doesn't mean it's not coming. That's not a denial because it's a delay. No, God is faithful. God will add it all up at the end. God will take care of you on the road. He'll take care of you now, and he will take care of you in eternity. God will bring it to pass. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't lose those things which you worked for. Why? That we may receive a full reward. Listen, you lose a receipt, you can't get reimbursed for that thing, right? Why? Because I don't see the receipt. Sometimes we cast away our confidence, we get discouraged, we get depressed, and we say, I guess I'm not going to get healed, guess I'm not going to get that provision, guess I'm not going to get that bonus, guess I'm not going to get the job, guess my kids are just going to have to go the way of the world, I guess, listen, you need to stand on the word of the Lord, you need to declare the promise of God, you need to be bold for Jesus. Why? Because that's your confidence, that's your receipts, and if you cast it away, you're not going to get the full reward. Listen, I don't want half a reward. Do you? Oh, no. I don't want 3/4 of my reward. Do you? I don't want 99.9% of my reward. I want a full reward. When I get to heaven, I want God to say, everything I had for you on earth and now in heaven, it's yours. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Why? That's a full reward. Mighty quiet in this place today. See, we've got some receipts. We've got some confidence. We've got some things to hold on to. What do we got? We got the character of God. See, if God was chintzy and cheap and had never blessed me, then I wouldn't have much confidence in the reward, right? Why? Because if he can't take care of me now, I don't know what it's going to be like in the future. But guess what? God's not chintzy. God's not cheap. God has taken care of every need I've ever had. God has overwhelmed me. God has blessed me. God has poured it out so much on me that I just couldn't contain it. It just overflowed from my life to my family to people around me. See, when the cup runneth over, the table gets blessed. Are you listening today? That we may receive a full reward. Let's take a look at it. Talking about our works, okay? Talking about our works. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, talking about our works, talking about as we go before the Father. Talking about a full reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse number 12. We're going to read through verse number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 12, look at what it says. It says, "Now if anyone builds on this foundation," the foundation we find out is Jesus Christ. "We build our lives on Jesus Christ. And what we build, that's our works while we're here on the earth." Okay, I'll show this to you in a moment. "If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones." Stop right there. Everybody say gold, silver, and precious stones. Okay, and then he says wood, hay, and straw. Everybody say wood, hay, and straw. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Which would you rather have? Gold, silver, and precious stones? Or wood, hay, and straw? Gold, silver, and precious stones, right? Why? Because they're more valuable. Now, it goes on in the next verse. Look at it. It says, verse 13, "Each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it." That day is capitalized. That means the day of the Lord, when Jesus comes back. "The day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is." Now, again, let me ask you a question. See, it says each one's work will become clear. In other words, the building materials you use to build your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ, that is your works, and your works will become clear, for the day will declare it. It will be revealed by fire. Your life is going to go before the throne, and your works will pass in front of God, and fire will come down on your sacrifice, and it will consume it. Now, gold, silver, and precious stones, in the natural, okay, in the physical, when fire hits them, what happens to them? Nothing, right? If anything, they're purified. They come out brighter. They come out sparkling and shiny, right? But what about wood, hay, and straw or stubble? Burns up, right? Consume. So that means that in your life, when God gives you a mandate, I want you to go and I want you to tell someone about Jesus. You can choose what sort of materials you are going to purchase with your life. You can purchase it with the gold, the silver, the precious stones, or you can go out and you can get wood, hay, and straw. You still got the job done, but you were afraid for some reason to get the other materials. Maybe you thought, well, I can't afford it. I can't spend that type of money. It's my resources. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough energy. I'll get the job done, God. I'll go and tell them, but it's wood, hay, and straw. And yet God is saying, I want you to spend. I want you to purchase the right materials with your life. Why? Because fire is going to test it, and on that day, it will become clear of what sort it is. Now, next verse. Verse 14, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a what? Well, that was about a tenth of you guys. A lot more people in the room. He will receive a what?
Reward.
Oh, that was about half. Okay, everybody else, let's get into this. If anyone's work which he built on it endures, if you don't cast away your confidence and you use the right materials and your work endures, he will receive a what?
Reward.
Next verse. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Remember, salvation is a gift. But your works, if you're not doing the right thing with God, that's going to get burned up before the throne. Church, don't cast away your confidence. If you go out and you say, I know the character of my God, I know the ability of my God, and I'm going to spend and be spent. I'm going to buy the gold, the silver, the precious. What is that? Okay, let's talk for a second. The Bible likens gold to your faith. When you believe God, it says that it's like gold refined in the fire. Well, what about silver? Silver, in the book of Proverbs, you find that the tongue of the righteous is like choice silver. When you declare the word of God, when you tell someone about Jesus, when you speak the right thing out of your mouth, see, the Bible says we will come into judgment for every idle word that we speak. That's going to get burned up before the Father. And yet if we speak with that tongue of silver, it's like apples of gold in settings of silver. That's your tongue, the tongue of the righteous. What about the precious stones? Paul says you are our reward. You are our crown. You are our gems. See, the precious stones, as you see the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, you'll find that it's made with precious stones all the way around. See, we are being built into a spiritual house, living stones placed together. We are precious stones before the Father. You're going to get to take people with you into eternity. That's what we build our lives with. And as we spend and we are spent, we will receive a reward. Amen. There was a master carpenter who had done a lot of work over his lifetime. Came to the end of his career and back was hurting. He couldn't move as fast as he used to. Eyesight was failing. And he went to his boss and he said, I think I've done my last job. I need to retire. I need to get out of this business. It's just wearing me out. I can't go on anymore. His boss said, I'll let you do that, but I need you for one more job. I need you to build one more house. The man says, no, I'm hurting. My eyesight is failing and I can't do any more for you. I just need to be done. He says, please, would you help me out? I just need you for one more job. I need to go find someone else. Would you at least do me the courtesy? Do this last job for me. And then I'll let you retire. He says, fine, okay, I guess I'll do it. Now the boss comes out with a stack of plans and he opens it up in front of this master carpenter. And the master carpenter, as he's looking over these plans, man, he sees, well, we did this kitchen on this job. I really like that kitchen. As he's looking at the outside, at the elevations, he says, you know what, this was the type of house that I know I told him I like this. It's like he took all of my best ideas and he put it into one house and now he's wanting me to build this as my last job. What's that all about? And so his heart kind of gets discouraged. He kind of gets angry about it. He's a little bitter. And so he rushes through the job. He buys the cheapest materials he can find. He goes quickly. He doesn't do the best work. Things aren't lined up and plumb and all that. And he just rushes the job. He's hurting. He's just done. And so he builds this house. and he finishes the house off, and he comes back to his boss, and he says, here's the keys. I'm done. I just can't do this anymore. I'm not in this anymore. I need to retire. And the boss says, thank you so much for finishing this last house for me. I've got everything under control on the back. Here's your last paycheck, and I've got a bonus for you. Here are the keys to your new house that you just built. Now, some of you guys are clapping, but you don't realize what he just built, he now received. In our lives, what we build into eternity, we will receive. That's why it's so important that we build the way God would have us to build, to do what God would have us to do, to not cast away your confidence, for it has great reward. And our reward, it goes far beyond gold, silver, and precious stones. Genesis, the 15th chapter, let me close with this. Talk about a reward. Genesis, the 15th chapter, verse number 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. When we go to heaven, I'm not looking for gold. The streets are lined with it. I don't care. That's asphalt. That's under my feet. It's what we walk around on. I'm not looking for silver. The Bible says that in Solomon's day, silver was like the stones. They just scattered it everywhere. I'm not looking for precious stones, even though I want to see people in heaven. That's great, and that's a call that's on our life, and that's why we preach the way we do. That's why we pastor the way we do. That's why we give altar calls in this church, is because we want to see heaven filled up. But when I get to heaven, all of that is wonderful, and all of that is needed, but my reward is not in those things. My reward is God Himself receiving me into His arms and saying, well done, my child. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Are you listening today? Come on, did you guys get something from the Word? Let's give God a great big praise. Hallelujah!
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.